The Mix on 90.7 WKGC, Daniel Powder and Bad Day, and I hope you're not having a bad day. I'm not.
Nope.
We've got either. Great guests in the studio, so I'm happy.
And it's a four-day work week.
That's true, too.
So look, it's exciting. It's Wednesday.
So is this your Monday or your Tuesday?
This is like, it's like
on a Thursday.
Twinsday. It's just everything.
Okay.
You've really confused me now. Thank you, Steve.
So we have in the studio with us award-winning broadcasters, and no, it is not us.
No, it's not.
Authors and members of the WGN Chicago Walk of Fame, which is no small thing. It's Steve King and Johnny Putman, and we are pleased, as always, to have you in the studio with us this morning.
Yeah,
you guys get the can. Oh, wow. You get the can clap. Cool.
Could have fooled me.
And they are authors of an excellent book titled A Little More Less, and your time and your musings with the one and only Les Paul.
Les Paul, yeah.
Who would have been 103 on June 9th.
Wow.
So we're going back to Chicago to have a celebration and talk about him and show an amazing movie. If you've never seen Chasing Sound, it is a movie about him and his life of chasing sound, literally from the time he was a four-year-old boy. And so we're going to be speaking at a library in Woodstock, Illinois, and they're going to show the movie, too.
Oh, that's cool.
Really nice.
Very good.
In fact, this is where the movie Groundhog Day was filmed.
Woodstock,
Illinois.
That's
where we're going to be.
Yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah. Yes.
I don't think I knew that.
And every Christmas, they all stand in the middle of the square and go, let's do it again!
I don't know that I've ever been to Woodstock.
Yeah.
Where's
it's a
it
lovely
at?
Town.
That's a beautiful
It's
area.
Outside of Chicago, right?
Yeah,
everything's outside of Chicago.
North of, it's about
an hour. Yeah, about an hour north of Chicago. And they have a beautiful venue. It's an old theater that's haunted. And I mean, people who are skeptics have been on stage and said, I looked up and I saw her. She was right there in the balcony because she's not a very happy woman. And so she walks the balcony. And
no, in Decatur, Illinois, there's a theater. The Lincoln Theater is also haunted.
Somebody killed
by whom?
There?
I don't have any idea, but I've been in, we used to do recording sessions in there. It's closed except for, you know, they let a few people in, and it's just straight up creepy. Very, very creepy.
And theater people are so superstitious anyway, you know, throw a ghost in and now you got a bunch of freaky people.
Absolutely. The Lincoln Theater was interesting because there's a hole cut in the stage floor. You know who cut the hole?
No.
Harry Houdini.
Really?
Yeah. He had performed there. Yeah. Not that he ever did any kind of tricks that weren't real, of course.
Are we expecting him to arise from the hole?
Maybe.
Perhaps.
Wow. So the Opry has the circle in the middle of the stage.
And then the Lincoln Theater has the square.
That you fall into.
I think it's been covered over, but it was cut up by the one and only Harry Houdini.
Wow.
At least that's what legend is anyway.
Great trivia.
The Houdini hole.
We'll need that. We'll put that on the next...
I got it on the
it's
reel.
On the skimmer. That'll go on our next outtakes.
Note the date and time, please. Our producer.
I don't know where our producers are.
We have...
They
yeah.
fell into the Houdini hole.
They did.
So, speaking of your... You posted this on Facebook. Mm-hmm. It's been what?
3 years.
3 years since you got your faces, not your faces, but your names put on the sidewalk in Chicago.
Yeah.
And we don't mean by chalk either.
No.
So what are they doing with those? I know they're moving the studios.
Yes.
Are they moving you?
Well, the building is the Tribune Tower,
the
famous legendary Tribune Tower. Beautiful building. In fact, just before we came down here, we had the good fortune of going to the Tribune Tower, and one of the writers for the Chicago Tribune took us into areas that we were, in all the 30 years we've been there, never allowed to go.
Really?
So we had to go upstairs and go out on some of the balconies and under the gargoyles, and it was nighttime, and it was really, really eerie and very cool. But those are all going to be million-dollar condominiums. Mm-hmm. This time next
year.
With the gargoyles.
I don't know that I would like a gargoyle.
But they can't mess with the outside of the building because it is a landmark. So the outside has to remain that way. The inside will be gutted, which is sad because it's all marble and brass and all that good stuff from the turn of the century.
And all the radio stuff.
All the radio stuff, So we're moving, and the Walk of Fame, which is outside.
Rumor has it that all of the plaques from the Walk of Fame are going to be taken out of the concrete and moved over to the new location, which is going to be on south of Wacker, south of the river. And at some point in the future, they may be repositioned in concrete over there.
Oh, wow.
Who knows?
Yeah. But when we were there last, back in May, they gave us a gift, and I got excited. They go, oh, we've got something good for you.
Yeah.
We've been waiting to see you again. And I'm like, oh, this is like an award or something. All these years are giving us a gift. And they gave us both a chunk of concrete. Now, Steve's was a bigger chunk of concrete than mine. And they said, this is a piece of the sidewalk that we broke up when we put your plaque in the ground. And I'm like,
it's just
okay.
Well, that's just sidewalk.
It's a little better than a lump of coal.
Thank you.
So, what did you do with your chunk of sidewalk?
Well, my ever-loving said, let's take it home and display it.
What else are you going to do with it?
But I wasn't sure if they were trying to tell us we were dumb as a box of rocks or what.
And they wrapped it in a piece of notebook paper. It was like,
they wanted to play rock, paper, scissors.
That's
there you go.
Good luck.
Steve, I didn't think of that.
If you have people over who don't know your radio history, you could say, look, it's a piece of the Berlin Wall.
That's right.
Say anything.
No, you could say just about anything about that.
Right.
Well, it's 9:15. We have Steve and Johnny in the studio. We'll be back in just a few minutes. We've got some Chicago just for you all here on the mix on 90.7 WKGC. 25 or 6 to 4. That's Chicago on the mix on 90.7 WKGC. It's 9:21. Steve King and Johnny Putman in the studio with us this morning.
And you just took me back by playing that.
Where did I take you back to?
Pete Cetera from Chicago.
Sure.
Was my bass player.
No.
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah. Absolutely.
They were just kids.
Pete and I worked together for a long time.
You're kidding me.
All the guys from Chicago and I, we had kind of played in each other's groups for a long time.
Those Southside boys hung out together.
Yeah. Interesting.
There was a lot of talent in Chicago, and there still is today.
There still is.
But in the 60s, I mean, the groups, there's a PBS show that gets aired quite frequently these days
called Cornerstones of Rock.
Yeah. And it's 3 hours of just music that came out of Chicago from the Buckinghams and the Crying Shames.
So have you ever had Pete on your show?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
One of the weird, strange things for me was, in the late 60s, after I had decided that I wasn't going to be the next Elvis or Beatles, and I'd kind of segued from actively performing to radio, and I was down and working at a radio station in Indianapolis, and we brought in Chicago for one of their first major concerts after they had just come out with the CTA, the Chicago Transit Authority album.
Right.
And it was just kind of a surreal experience of here I am on stage with a guy that I had worked with for years. And now I'm introducing his group with their new album. It was just kind of a weird thing.
Interesting.
But it was kind of fun.
Wow.
That's neat.
Just when you think you know a guy.
Exactly. Right?
I say that all the time. We've been married 34 years, and I'm like, really? You knew him?
Really? That's very cool. Well, I don't know where to go with that after that.
Well, Tori's first concert was Chicago.
Chicago was my first unchaperoned rock concert. Now, I had been to a few concerts, you know, because I asked my parents, and they got tickets, and they took me. But Chicago was the first unchaperoned by an adult, a friend of an older sister's friend took us.
So what was the first concert your folks took you to, one of your parents?
Michael Jackson.
Oh, really?
The Jackson's Victory Tour.
Awesome.
Yes. And we waited in line for those tickets and got ninth row.
Really?
Yes.
Whoa,
we
scored.
Out. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I am duly impressed. And, you know, that gives them parent points forever.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. It was actually my friend's parent that stayed with us. But the fact that my parent allowed us to camp out with her was fine.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. See?
What was your first concert?
You know, I'm embarrassed to say I didn't really go to any big concerts growing up.
Well, you were kind of out there in the boonies, though.
You know,
I was right outside of
major
metro.
No, I was definitely in the boonies.
So
you'd have to go
to
Chicago.
A lot more opportunities.
Chicago or St. Louis.
St. Louis, yeah.
And I just really wasn't all that interested. But I did go when I was in college, because I went to Champaign for a concert to see Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh,
that's
cool.
A good one.
And the Foo Fighters. No, it really wasn't. because, you know, I was in music school, and so, you know, we're all very snobbish and highly critical of these people. So one of my buddies said, you're not going to like them live because Anthony Kiedis can't sing. For anything.
Wow, it's all in the studio, huh?
And that was true. He can't sing. It was bad.
And they're just hoping that everybody's just so out of it that they don't care.
Yeah. Excited and just jumping
and
around.
And truthfully, the Foo Fighters opened up for them, and that was the best part of the show.
Yeah. Okay. I can imagine that. Yeah.
Well, this will really date me, but my first concert was Brooke Benton.
Okay.
Dee Clark, who did Raindrops. The Platters. a group called the Jarmels, who did a song called A Little Bit of Soap. And I forget who else was on the show. My first cool concert.
That's a pretty cool concert, actually.
Yeah, I'm thinking, well, wait.
But my first really cool concert was 64 or 5, the Beatles at Comiskey Park in Chicago.
Whoa.
Oh, wow. Seriously. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
wow, that's a big one.
How close were
that
you?
That wins.
But nobody was sitting really close. They had the Beatles were out right around the first base area, and everybody else was back in the stands.
Sure.
And all you heard was...
Well, that's right, about as much as they had this teeny tiny PA system.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You know. But John Lennon almost started a riot at the end of the concert because their last song was Twist and Shout. After they do that, John was on the right side of the stage. The band starts walking off. He starts running down the stage towards the audience. And the crowd went nuts, and security went nuts, and then he laughed and ran back up. But it was an interesting moment.
Do we still have that ticket stub?
Yeah, we do.
I'm not surprised.
Tickets. How much do you think tickets were to see the Beatles in 64?
$10?
Five.
Wow. Really?
Really.
We could actually put that on eBay, you know. We can make that money back today.
You can get more for the stub than
you. More than you paid for the tickets.
Everything we have around the house, I walk around and go, ching-ching.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm adding it up. If he turns around, it might be gone.
It's been interesting to see the transition before we got married. The conversation was all about my junk. Now it's about our collectibles.
Our stuff.
Oh, yes.
our valuables. Well, he had a 45 that was just sold on eBay 2 weeks ago. For $475.
One of yours?
I saw that.
One of my records.
Wow. What was it?
I said, how many do we have? Give them to me now.
What was it?
That was Satan Is Her Name.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. And we watched the
Which
the
I
bidding.
Found out now is on another, about another three CDs over in Europe.
But when it went to almost $500, what are these people smoking in...
And why am I not making any of this?
Exactly.
Right.
I'm your manager, honey. Let me work on this.
They're just big fans, I guess.
You know, over in Europe, they're crazy big fans. Yeah. That's where the big money came in because the reserve was $200, which I thought was hysterical. And then when you get toward the end where the snipers start jumping in and they're going to grab it, sure enough, it went up like $75 in the last 30 seconds.
Well, and I was just interviewed for, I don't know if you've ever seen the magazine Vintage Rock. It comes out of London, and I was just interviewed for Vintage Rock. They're doing a whole thing on rock and roll.
Yeah, in Chicago.
Interesting.
Yeah. Right.
Well, you mentioned the Beatles, so before we head to our weather break with News 13's Kara Murphy, got to get used to saying that. She's new.
Yes.
Little Beatles, late tune from them, but one of my favorites. This is Get Back on the mix on 90.7 WKGC, your local public radio station. The mix on 90.7 WKGC, The Clash, and I Fought the Law, and guess what? The law won.
Oh, they always do.
They usually do.
And the law's walking by outside.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah, the law just walking by. Officer Tim. Yeah, exactly. He has no idea what we're talking about. We're delayed out there, so... Yeah.
He'll get halfway down the stairwell and realize we were talking about
exactly.
him.
Exactly.
And who originally did I Fought the Law?
That would have been...
Man's name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got it.
And it's
you're reaching for the
clouds. There's a controversy about him too.
I don't remember. I cannot think of it.
You'll go, yeah.
It was
Bobby Fuller.
Yes,
as in Bobby Fuller.
Bobby Fuller Four.
Right.
And there's a lot of controversy about how he died.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it?
It was. There's a question about was it
murdered?
Was he murdered? Was it a suicide? Was he murdered? Because it was shortly after. The hit came out, and there's some question about was there a mob thing going on, and so
it should have been I Fought the Mob and the Mob won. Yeah.
maybe
oh,
gosh,
yeah, don't do that. We have Steve and Johnny in the studio with us this morning, and again, great authors, because you've written a book called A Little More Less.
Thank
Tell
you.
Us how folks could order that book if they want to learn about Les Paul and your experiences with Les Paul.
Yeah.
Well, they could go to alittlemoreless.com.
That's one S and less.
Or they can call 312-912-8639. Or in the Panama City / Panama City Beach area.
Lights Music, right?
Lights Music.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. They've got it right up there by the register. So take a look at it. It's a pretty book.
It is a pretty book.
We're real proud of it. A lot of color pictures. And
some of our friends, like Charlie Daniels, wrote some chapters for us. Some of the people that we had introduced to Les.
Tommy Emmanuel, Muriel Anderson, great guitarist, who had lived to meet Les Paul, and we were fortunate enough that we got to introduce them to him and change their lives.
Mm-hmm. It's a great book.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
One of the things we want to mention before I forget is this weekend, we're going to be at the Panama City Mall.
It's Hurricane Preparedness Day.
That's right. We are going to be preparing.
Yes.
Along with a lot of other folks, the American Red Cross and
WMBB's Viper Storm Team will be there.
Bay County Emergency Services will be there. The ham radio operators will be there. All of those folks as we get ready to kick off. Actually, we kind of feel like we've already kicked off hurricane season a little bit, but let's hope
Much Ado About Nothing, I believe, is the proper title for the last storm.
But, yes.
Yeah, we were talking about this off the air that all of us have been through a whole lot worse storms.
Sure.
And I know some people had some flooding and things, but boy, this thing was, I think, overplayed.
But we had a lot of tourists here, too.
Yeah, we did.
So there was a big concern of if you close the bridges and they want to get back to Atlanta, they start freaking out. So now you've got real trouble. So it's a fine line you have to walk, because we deal with that in Chicago with events,
the winter storms.
And winter storms, and you scare people off, and the businesses are on the phone saying, stop that. And there always seems to be some business, though, that's going to benefit from it, right?
Yeah. Exactly. But the thing that impressed me about the media was people like Jim Cantore and NBC News. They actually said when they were out on the beaches at Panama City Beach, it actually said Panama City Beach.
Yeah.
Been a long time to get them to that point.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we saw them and, you know, they, they just always look like they're little blowing a little harder than the wind is.
They've got a fan in their feet.
I always wondered if they took a stage fan out there with them so that they could make it look like it's a little windier.
Somebody
was
located in Gulf Shores, and they're talking about the wind, and in the screen behind them, you've got a whole bunch of people walking on the beach.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. Well,
whatever you say.
Whatever you need, folks.
Right. Yeah.
Those darn people in bathing suits wandering up and down the shoreline are ruining my shot, is what that is.
Yeah.
Did you happen to be watching? It was one of the shots they were doing. I don't know if it was Jim Cantore or somebody else from the Weather Channel, but there was a guy in a shark suit behind him. Running back and forth.
And the cameraman kept going higher and higher as the shark was dancing around behind the anchor. And it's like, and it was a woman, because I said, doggone you, you're just doing that because that's a woman up there. You're trying to terrorize her. But you know, the flip side of everything that was happening here was when they would cut over to Ellicott City, Maryland. We experienced was nothing.
Yeah, that became the big story.
Yeah.
It should have.
And how did that happen? I don't remember anybody talking about this.
I
don't remember the last one.
This is the second time in 2 years.
That's
right.
They called it a 1,000-year flood in 2016, but now in 2018 we do it again.
Yeah. So we saw some business owners saying, we rebuilt because that was a 1,000-year flood.
Right.
But now 2 years later, I'm not sure we can do this again.
Yeah, and the destruction was devastating.
Oh,
I mean, it
horrible.
Was bad.
The pictures, it was my idea of hell on earth.
Sure.
You just, you... cars, bobbing
cars just
water.
Floating by, and people being
and it seemed like it just
flood.
Came out of nowhere.
Yes,
I guess that's why they called a flash flood. But I mean, it really did.
Yeah, they were talking about there's no place for that water to go. There's a lot of concrete, a lot of parking lots, a lot of buildings. Yeah. So there was just nowhere for it to go. Mm-hmm.
And it's built on tributaries, like five of them are run underneath the city. So when they filled up, they just had to pop up under the sidewalks and. Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah, it kind of gives you perspective when you see something like that.
Well, we mentioned earlier that you sold a record on eBay and got some cash for that.
I don't think it was
him. I didn't sell it.
It was somebody sold it.
Oh, it wasn't yours.
Somebody found it and sold it, and it always seems to be Europeans. I think the highest so far has been, prior to this sale, was $300 for a 45. And then this one was pushing $500, which... I'm going back.
Do you guys
to
have a big record collection?
I hope we have a box of those.
I think working in radio,
don't let them all go at one time, or they're going to be 50 cents a piece.
So. Dribs and drabs, you know.
But we have a pretty large record collection.
We have a room
with a wall of albums, and then there's a basement with more albums and.
Oh, and so how much more would you like us to ship up there to you?
Yeah, we've got some stuff left over in our vinyl vault.
Do you like
listening to vinyl?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, gosh, I figure you do.
Yeah. We have a couple of turntables, really nice turntables.
So you guys have been doing this for a long time. Can you tell the difference between the digital music and the analog?
Yes.
Just by listening.
On a good sound system, yes. In some cases, it's so obvious. For example, when Motown first digitized all of their stuff, it was horrible. Absolutely. Tom is nodding.
Yes, and the algorithms for the analog to digital conversion, even in fairly compressed sound like CDs, have gotten ever so much better than they were.
Yes, mm-hmm.
I remember the quote from Neil Young when the first CD came out, and he goes, "Now we're entering the dark ages of music."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Someday they'll say there was.
Do you remember
good music?
What happened with Columbia Records? They were reissuing all of the Simon and Garfunkel mm-hmm. catalog. They couldn't find one of the albums. They lost the master tapes. They actually had to go back to a pristine vinyl copy, mm-hmm. and that's what they digitized.
And dropped a needle on it.
I've actually used Simon and Garfunkel. Occasionally, we'll take audio classes from the college and take them mm-hmm. to the studio, and we have done analog nights at the studio where we actually compare mm-hmm. on a sound system you can hear the difference on, the differences between vinyl and compressed audio, going to 44.1 CD quality, and also a lot of people listen to MP3s, so mm-hmm. we listen to MP3s as well. My favorite song for that is, of course, Bridge Over Troubled Waters, mm-hmm. The original issue was in monaural, and I still think that's probably the best sound they got out of that, was the original Columbia monaural.
Agreed.
But that sounds terrible on your phone, but that's how you're listening to your music.
I don't listen to my music on my phone.
No. Yeah. Me neither.
But all of that to say, and you guys mentioned this when you came in, we've got a turntable over here
to
my left, and I would say we're the only radio station in the area that's playing anything on a turntable.
That's
so
true.
We're glad to do that. So we can do more than one vinyl play. We still got another 15 minutes, but I've always been not so sure about this artist.
Okay.
It's Rod Stewart.
Oh,
I like some. I don't like some. Yeah. So he's kind of a mixed bag for me. But this one goes back to 1971. This is Maggie May on the mix on 90.7 WKGC.
You stole my heart, I couldn't leave you if I tried.
It's the final play of the day on the mix on 90.7 WKGC. 1971, Rod Stewart and Maggie May.
Love it. Mm-hmm.
And I learned some interesting history about that story from our resident historian.
Maggie May, she's still upset about it.
Yeah, she might
be. She didn't like that he wrote that song.
I want to play one more song so I can get, because we don't only have one turntable, but I want to queue up one more vinyl play.
Yeah, we were coming up with a favorite, certainly a favorite of mine, and I think of almost everybody's here. So we'll get that queued up.
Let me queue that up, and in the meantime, while we're doing that, we'll play a little Cyndi Lauper in honor of Maggie May. Girls just want to have fun. On the mix on 90.7 WKGC. Cyndi Lauper on the mix on 90.7 WKGC, and girls just want to have fun.
Yay.
And that's true. They do, I suppose. And now she's hawking some kind of
none of the ones that I ever dated. None of the ones I dated wanted to have fun. That's, I don't. What's up with that?
Yeah, Tom. Sorry. Okay. They were serious. You attract the wrong girls.
Definitely.
As a matter of fact, you just play that after
it
Rod
might
Stewart.
Be you.
Yes.
Yeah. Aren't they touring together now?
They are.
Are they really?
Yes. Yeah.
Why
did
you?
I missed that. Yeah,
are you
I didn't.
Kidding me,
yeah.
Cyndi Lauper?
I mean, I knew that.
Stewart?
That was planned that way. Totally.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great?
I saw the script earlier.
Yeah, it was totally planned out that way.
That'd be a great show. 270-somethings rocking out.
Yeah.
Because they are.
Yeah, they are.
Amazing.
They are.
In fact, there was an interesting article, I think it was in Parade magazine a couple weeks ago, and they interviewed the two of them. And at the end of the interview, Rod was saying to Cyndi, yeah, you need to fly on my plane. And she was saying, maybe some other time.
Does she think he parties when he's on the plane?
I guess.
I don't know.
Parties when you're 70 just aren't what they used to be. Can I just interject that?
No, parties are good. It's the recovery that's harder.
Yeah, something like that. Steve and Johnny, thank you both for coming in.
Thank you.
Give us your web address again.
Yes.
Our web address is just steveandjohnny.com, steveandjohnny.com. And if you want to get a copy of A Little More Less, go to alittlemoreless.com.
Or you can call 312-912-8639 and purchase a copy and check it out on Amazon and see what it's all about. Or come on and see us.
If you're local, just trot on down to Lights Music and they'll take care of you.
Pick up a ukulele, a guitar.
New location. I haven't been to
Lights
Music.
It's nice.
Location.
Very
it's
nice.
In Pier Park.
It's really
Pier Park
nice.
North or yeah. regular?
North.
North.
It's,
okay.
it's north. It's a couple doors down from Fresh Market. Everybody knows where that is.
Yeah. It's a little smaller than their in-town store, but it's really nice.
Okay. And when you go into Pier Park North, ask for Stephen.
Stephen. All right.
Okay. Very good.
Watch out, Stephen. We're coming.
He's busy taking care of customers.
Yeah.
He's not listening.
Okay, maybe he is. You never know.
You never know. We've got, producer Caleb is filling in coming up in the next couple of hours from 10 till noon to keep the live show rolling along.
Good.
So
cool.
This will be his first time, so we're going to stand outside the window, just stare at him.
And point. We can point and laugh, okay? That's quite
He's quite capable. Mm-hmm. He is in charge of our student-run radio station, and so we're giving him an opportunity to cut his teeth here, so it's good stuff. Yeah, unless you want to stay. I mean, you guys, he'll give up the chair for you, I'm sure. Anyway, we're going to round out this hour, take you up to 10 o'clock. We've got another vinyl play, and I think everybody likes this song. Tom, you said this was your first concert.
This was my first concert, 1967.
How was it?
It was terrible. I loved everything I heard on the radio, and boy, was I let down when I went to see him. Have you seen him live, Steve?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was. I'm a huge Beach Boys fan, like you. Possibly the worst concert I ever saw.
Yeah, that was right up there with. Going to see high school rock groups, yes.
Mike Love's going to be in the parking lot waiting for you guys.
Yeah, that's right.
That will be cool.
Yeah,
it
would be.
I'd like to meet Mike Love.
That's we're going to Facebook Live that after the show.
Did he play the theremin on this?
I don't think so. I don't remember hearing this song.
Okay.
I don't know when
Good Vibrations
came out. It may not have been.
It was roughly 66, 67, something.
Yeah,
and when it came out, it was like, whoa.
Yeah, but this was 67, so I don't think they were touring with a theremin at the time. Well, we did have one up here for a while. It was fun.
This was one of the songs that made the Beatles decide to do Sgt. Pepper.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
This is so unique.
And at the time, Brian was using recording this stuff on a 16-track, and the Beatles at Abbey Road Studios were on a 4-track.
4-track,
mm-hmm.
yep.
Mm-hmm. Interesting stuff. Well, thank you guys for coming
in.
Thank
you. Pleasure.
Hopefully, you'll come back in August when you're back.
See you in the summer.
We will.
All right.
Thanks.
Excellent. So we'll wind up this hour with another vinyl play. This is the Beach Boys and Good Vibrations on the mix on 90.7 WKGC.
I love the colorful clothes she wears and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a jet.
gentler on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. Somehow closer now. Softly smile, I know she must be kind. In her eyes, she goes with me to a blossom room. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. Vibrations are happening with her.